just want to thank you that we can gather here together today to encourage one another, to worship you. Father, to bind our hearts together, Lord, as a unit, Father, in your family. Brothers and sisters, Father, from different paths in this world, but all of us, Lord, trying to draw near to Jesus, that we might pursue and gain you and eternal life with you. Father, help us to not shrink back. Help us, Lord, when we are tempted to not fall away. Help us, Father, to push in, to be brave, to be strong, to be dedicated, to be your children. Father, pray for the kids going to children's church. Pray to be with them, guide them. I pray, Father, for each one that's here. I pray you give them ears to hear, Father, that they would hear your voice. That each one, Lord, would hear today what they need to hear from your Holy Spirit. That they would find the encouragement in you. That they would feel, Lord, your love, your hope in Jesus. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Kids, if you're in fifth grade or below and would like to go to Children's Church, you may do so at this time. If you're here with me, we're going to be reading from Psalm 43. Did I say 43?
Yeah.
I just tested me, I guess. 46. Psalm 46. I worry that that's too small a print on the wall to see. Is it too small?
Nope.
Okay, good. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Shalom. Let me say this. Shalah is a Hebrew expression. You can translate that in a lot of ways. You can say, praise the Lord, if that's your expression of praise. You can say, Yahoo, that would fit in there. Or, whoopee. So, you know, this is good. That's what the statement means. This is all right. This is fine. Shalom. Verse 4. There is a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. Kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Shalom. Come, behold the works of the Lord. How he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Shalom. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, many times when we're reading anything, we just jump to what we like, need, or want to see. God is our refuge. He is our strength and present to help us in troubles. And that sounds so good. And it is certainly true. But don't miss where it all begins. God is. You see, before God can be our refuge, we must acknowledge that He is. That He is present. That He is real. He is not a philosophy. He is not a way we believe. He is the God who created all things. He is real. He is with us in the best of times. He is with us in the worst of times. We are not just blessed when things are going good. Because God is, we are actually more blessed when things are going bad. Because God is, if the creditor takes your money, you can still see the mansion over the hilltop. Because God is, if your body fails you and your health gives way to sickness, you can rest in the hope of a new body promised to those who believe. Because God is, one day addictions will pull no longer. Doubt will no longer paralyze. Fear will lose its jurisdiction, and any blindness and pain will be repealed by the presence of God, the God who is, who was, and who will be forever. Do you know the God who is? I know that's a rhetorical question and that I don't expect a response. But I don't want it to be a rhetorical question in your heart and your mind. Do you know the God who is? The one who is with you as close as your shadow on a sunny day. The one who is as close to you as water when you go swimming. The one who is as close to you as the air that you breathe. Do you know that God? Because I think a lot of times we take our life, and we try and add God all around it. We stick Him in there where we need to, when we need to, how we need to. Instead of doing what He asked, which is to take our life and give it to Him and let Him permeate every aspect of it. And then we begin to live in Him, not so much Him living in us. Does that make sense? You need to know the God who is. When you plug into Him, you'll get transformed. Life will begin to make, I don't want to say more sense, because in some ways it makes less sense. But there's something about placing your faith in the God who is that unfolds a life before you that you can't imagine and that you never really want to try to imagine. You simply are content to live with Him. Where will you be a year from now? Well, we all hope we're in a better situation. We're all working toward being in a better situation. We're all hoping to be happier, healthier. I don't know anybody that said, next year, I'd like my life to be a wreck. But the truth is, for some of us, next year our life will be a wreck. We will be struggling with marriages. We will be struggling with health. We will be struggling with finances. And the God who's with us in the good time, who is with us in the good time, the God who's with us then can be with us just as much then. So I want to challenge you to take the God who is and begin to make a habit of living with Him now in the good time, so that when the bad time comes, it will already have developed a habit of being in God. God is our refuge. You see, He not only exists out there, but He's our refuge, He's our strength, and present during our troubles. Therefore, we will not fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, we will not fear. Even if today looks bad and tomorrow looks worse, we need not fear, for God is our refuge and strength and help. Do you lean on Him? Do you rest in Him? Do you find comfort in your relationship with Him? Is He someone that you go to, or is He someone that you live with? It's a big difference. God's also our future. Verse 4 says, there is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, in the midst of that city. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You see, the city of God, I don't know how you want to interpret that. You can call it Jerusalem. You can call it heaven. You can call it your heart. Call it whatever you want. But God is in the midst of it, nourishing it, feeding, protecting, and preparing that city, not for Himself, but for us to be joined and united with Him. Do you ever just stop in the busyness of your day and just imagine what heaven will be like? Got a little bit of stiffness in my neck. That would be gone. Maybe a little loneliness. That would be gone. Maybe a bit of sadness. Gone. Maybe missing a loved one. Gone.
Pain.
Gone.
Water.
Gone.
Poverty.
Gone. He's preparing a city. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. See, God is not just a God who is a very present help in trouble. He is also in the midst of our future. He is preserving and preparing what is to come. God is not just in our today. He's also in our tomorrow. Jesus said in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also.
Amen.
Jesus has prepared a place for those who believe. It's not a hole in the ground. It's not a millennium of sleep. There's not various levels of heaven, but a place where Jesus is. That's where there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. When we trust God to forgive our past to guide our present and to secure our future, we can expect the benefits that go along with a very present relationship with God, who is securing his city even when this world shakes, totters, and trembles. John made reference to the news. You know, we watch the news and we see things about, you know, Hillary or the Donald, and we're like, oh, I have to vote for one of those. No, what you've got to do is you've got to serve the living God. That's what you've got to do. Neither one of them is going to turn this country around. I hate to say, but neither of them is going to make America great again. Neither of them is going to be able to turn things around unless they turn us back to God.
Amen.
Because it's in Him where we find our refuge, our strength. It's in Him where we find our hope. How can we do that? When the world is all around us offering so many solutions, so many more things you can do that will make your life simpler and easier. I always thought it was odd when they say, well, do this and it will make your life better. Or this is one of my favorites. You go out for a meal and you know you're gonna eat the sirloin steak that's like that big around and that thick, and the baked potato, and the tablespoonful of corn, and you're going to have the dessert. But before you eat all that, you're going to eat the salad so that you have something healthy. It's like, I'm going to eat one more thing, and then I'll be healthy. But we do that, don't we? And we do that in our relationship with God when we think, well, I'll do this for God and I'll add one more thing for Him. When in reality, He doesn't want one more thing. He wants everything turned over to Him. So how do we go about doing that? Right here in Psalm 46, there's an answer. It says in verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord. Now He has brought desolations to the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Some say, you know what, Pastor? I don't buy it. Because we've been here all this time on this earth. There's still wars, there's still fighting, it just continues. How can we trust a God who promises one thing and yet provides another? Those who ask such a question don't understand what the scripture says. You see, Webster would define peace as the absence of conflict. But that's not peace. That's the absence of conflict. Just think about it for a moment. What is the value of a peace, of a type of peace? The type of peace I believe that most people are seeking. The type of peace that can be stripped away when a gun is fired, when a brick is thrown, when a riot begins, when a railing accusation is made. What kind of peace is it that disappears when a conflict goes unresolved? Or a harsh word is spoken. That's not a peace. That's a time bomb. True peace is when we have a peace that's inside. A confidence and contentment in the midst of conflict. Or I should say, even in the midst of conflict. See, that's the peace that passes understanding. That's the peace that comes from God. That is the peace that is available to those who will not yield on the promises of God, but who will stand firm in them. Come, behold the works of the Lord. We've got to see the difference that He has made in so many, and is longing to make in every single one of us. God wants us to take the desolations and wars that are in our families and in our households, that are represented here today, and He wants us to experience fullness and the joy that comes from a deep relationship with Him. Psalm 35, 30, verse 5 says, "Weeping will tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning." When we're in conflict, when we're in a problem, know this. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to live in the conflict. Just step into the peace. You see, but the situation hasn't changed. But if you change, and you place your faith in God, it's like this. Did you guys see the movie The War Room? Yes. There's a great scene in it where a guy comes up to rob them. Rob the old lady and the young lady and the little kid. And they're going to rob them. And then she just looks at him and rebukes him in the name of Jesus and sends them on their way. And then the police come. And the young mom is sitting there with her kid, and she's just trembling, and she's so upset, and she's, you know, making out the police report, and she's so nervous, and the old lady is sitting there eating ice cream. She's just licking the cone. And when she gets done, she turns to the young lady and says, "You gonna eat that?" And she takes her ice cream and starts eating, because she's not upset. She's just not worried anymore. Why? Because she gave her life over to God. Have you done that? Have you taken your life and just given it to Him and said, "You know what? Whether I live or whether I die, Lord, that's just up to You. I'm good either way. Whether I'm healthy or whether I'm sick, I'm good with it. I just want to pursue You." I hate to tell stories about my family when my mother's here. But not about her, but my grandma. My grandma used to always say, "I don't know why the Lord's keeping me here." And I was young in my faith, and I was a young man, and I begin to question, why does God leave people here when they seem like they're useless? When they're old, when they can't do what they want to do? Why does He leave them here when their mind starts to go and their body starts to deteriorate? Why? And all of a sudden, one day, as I was praying about this and seeking an answer from God, believing that all answers were in Him, He gave me an answer. You know what the answer was? Quite simple. The answer was, "David, I left her here so you would learn to love her."
Amen.
You mean, her reason for being here is so that we can learn what agape love is. So that we can learn to love unconditionally. So that I could continue to love her, even though every time I went to visit her, she said like the same three things over and over again. I heard like 4,000 times about the guy that locked the keys in the trunk of her car, and then he had to take the back seat out to crawl in and get them out. Because it was one of the things that stuck in her mind that was getting clouded with dementia. I got really tired of hearing, "I don't know why God hasn't taken me yet." And through that, I won't say I learned it at the time, but I learned it as the years went by. As I said, "Lord, I don't want to be like that." And He told me, "You don't have any choice about that." You see, even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we always think that we're going through it.
other side. But you know, sometimes we stay down there. And we live in that valley. And we lose our minds. And we lose our health. And we stay there. And you know what? We still have purpose. But it might not be my purpose. It might be yours. Are you ready for it? Are you ready to embrace it? Are you ready to take it like a champion? If you practice that now, you will be then. Every single one of us has a story to tell. A story of heartbreak, a story of loneliness, a story of being abandoned, a story of being left behind. Every single one of us has a story. But do you take that story and do you put it up here as a mantle for you? Do you take it and pin it right here like a soldier pins a medal on? You say, right there, high school, I was dumped by my girlfriend. I thought I was going to die. Praise God. Got her out of the way so I could have the spouse I was supposed to have. It's a medal and I can wear it proudly. Praise God right there. Wrecked the car. Got a scar, an injury. I live with it. Praise God. Because I stuck with Him through it. I served with the soldier when I was stationed at Fort Carson. I served in my unit with the soldier who was the most decorated NCO on post. So whenever there was a big shindig, they'd always call for him to come and stand next to the general. Because he had so many ribbons, he couldn't even wear them all. He'd earned so many ribbons. They just totally covered that whole area right there. It was amazing to see him in his uniform. Each and every one of us, if we would pin on all the ribbons that we have earned in God's kingdom, we would find that we are amazing. That He has been our refuge. He has been our strength. He has been our help in trouble time after time after time after time. But all too often, that's happened because we stressed and we pushed and we fought our way through. When in reality, you know what God's asking us to do? We get a little glimpse into God's heart here in Psalm 46. When we look on down to verse number 10, and it just says, "Be still and know that I am God." Are you telling me that I don't need to fight and strive as hard as I've been fighting and striving? Pretty much. Are you telling me that if I would just let God be God and let me be me, and let Him take the lead every time, that I would find more victory? Well, I don't know if you'd find more victory, but you'd find victory a lot easier. You know, in the military, you actually get a ribbon just for being in a conflict. You want to avoid things like Purple Hearts. You get those from being shot. But you actually get a ribbon just for having been there. And I don't know about you, but I'm fine with getting the participant ribbon. But the Purple Heart, I'll pass on that one. So if all I have to do is be still and know that God is God, and I can miss out on all the Purple Hearts, I'm good There's a big thing today, you know, where kids, they would get a trophy just for being on the team. And everybody's like, well, only the champion should get a trophy, blah, blah, blah. You know, in the kingdom of God, you get the trophy just for showing up. Just for showing up, you get a crown. You get a medal. You don't have to get shot. You just have to be available. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I heard last week that the Seahawks are odds-on favorite to go to the Super Bowl this year. Them and the Patriots. New Patriots. So, if you're going to bet, which of course none of us would ever do that, but if you were going to bet on a team, you would make less money by betting on the Seahawks. Because everybody thinks they're most likely to win. Know this, God will be exalted among the nations. He will win in the end. Bet everything you have on Him. Because in the end, it will be returned to you. Up to 100-fold. So take a chance. Whatever it is in this life that's nagging at you, that's pulling you down, that's exposing you, take the God of Jacob and let Him be your fortress in those weak areas. And as you build those walls between yourself and the problems, you'll find that peace that passes understanding begins to flood in. Because when you give your battles over to God and you begin to let Him fight them, you can just be still and eat ice cream. Won't that be nice? Just to let that stuff go. Just to relax. That's the message of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, I'm going to worry about every aspect of my life the rest of my days. Therefore, I'm going to take control of everything. God is my refuge and my strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. You cannot have a relationship with God without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. To know one is to know the other. To know the other is to know the other. For they are one and the same. Trust Him, Jesus, today. Receive Him as your Lord and your Savior. Ask Him into your heart. Give Him your life. I can't really explain it. But I know what happened to me. One day I was walking down a sidewalk, and I was just worried about my wife and my kids, worried about where life was going. And I was just thinking about, as a young man, how much stuff was out of my control, how many things that I couldn't do. And I needed God to help me out. And I'd already made a couple of deals with Him, whatever that's been. This one particular evening, I just stopped where I was at and I said, you know, Lord, if you're knocking on the door of my heart, please come into me. And as soon as I humbled myself in that way, I felt the presence of God. I felt a touch as the Holy Spirit came upon me. Suddenly I felt washed. I felt clean. I felt like a brand new man. I felt like someone who'd just been born again. And suddenly all those little cliches that we say all made sense.
From that moment forward, my life has not been the same. Because I have a stake that's driven in the ground, that's driven into the rock of salvation. And no matter what happens, I always think back to that moment and that place and that time. I say, you know, it's all going to be okay. Because there is God who loves me. I hope you have testimony like that. If you don't, stop. Be still. Give him your life. And be transformed. Let's stand together. Father, we want to come to you today. We want to thank you and praise you for being our God. For being available. For being there. For constantly forgiving us. Teaching us what forgiveness is. Help us, Lord, to give forgiveness to others. Most of all, Lord, help us to forgive ourselves and to rest in you and have faith and trust in you. Knowing that all we have to do when we lean forward is lean on you. For you are able. You are God. You will be exalted. You, Lord, are safe. We just want to thank you, Father. Father, if there's anybody here who's never received you as their Lord and Savior, I just pray, Lord, that you touch them right now. That they would feel your presence engulfing them. That you would help them, Lord, on that journey of being born again. They would have that moment and that place and that time where they would always be able to say, you are their God, their refuge, their strength, their present help in every trouble. In Jesus' name.